Welcome to the Busy Mumsy Podcast, Season 2. I'm your forever coffee-infused host, Ashley Verma, and we are all here weekly to share the ups, downs, and all-arounds of the wild world of parenting. A safe space, a Lego-free space, to vent, to inspire, and well, perhaps this is the only adult conversation you hear all day. What is Adia doing?
A, B, C, D.
Is that funny? So each week, I will be joined by a fellow striving, thriving, and surviving busy mumsy. We learn together, we grow together. Hell, we cheers with an adult bevy when necessary. I get it. I am human and failures simply happen. I am not shiny and I am never filtered unapologetically. I am at its best. Even when the dishes aren't done, there's crayon on the wall and well, my hair hasn't been washed in forever. I am Busy Mumsy. My friends, happy Wednesday. Ash here. I am so ready. I'm so ready to meet today's guest. It's Carla Freeman. Honestly, her social channels are like hilarious. It's like big belly laughs. I relate to pretty much all of it, especially anything that has to do with the school runs and the playground. I am always here for it. She is a nonstop mama bear content creator, and I can't wait to hear how she just juggles it all, where she gets the ideas from. Is she really living in all of this madness? Let's find out. Let's dive on into this week's Busy Mumsy Chat. Carla Freeman, welcome to the Busy Mumsy Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for saying yes, and thank you for just entertaining. You are quite the hoot on the social media.
Well, I mean, it's tough. Yeah, thanks. I'm glad to enjoy.
Well, you know, let's ask out the gate then. What? How are you handling the bad days? Like, do you literally have days where there's no comedy in your life? Because
oh my god,
Mama Bear of One, you know, actor, comedian. Like, is there a day where it's like no laughter?
Yeah, do you know what? If I'm being really bleak and honest, most mornings I'm like, oh God, I have to be funny. I have to turn up and I have to be funny. And I don't feel funny. But actually, it's kind of like a side bit of therapy because I have to put myself in that zone and I have to put myself in that mood. And it actually helps because by the time I've kind of done a kitchen dance or, I mean, normally I leave
That's
the school run
and that's a thing, a kitchen dance.
That's a thing, a kitchen dance. Join me in the kitchen dance, will you, m'lady? Yes, a kitchen dance. You've done a kitchen dance, right?
I think so. I feel like I should say yes, even if I haven't.
No, well, so a kitchen dance.
I don't spend much time in the kitchen, if I'm really honest with you.
Lucky you. I wish I didn't have to spend so much time in the kitchen.
Sirens go off, and like if I cut... burner on the stove, it might implode, and not because the gas is on. It just doesn't go with me.
It just doesn't go. Do you know what? I am the same, but I power through. Which is, I mean, it's all material in the kitchen, isn't it? Basically, a kitchen dance is when you feel like crap. Can I swear on here? Probably not.
Let's say crap.
Okay. I just put on my favorite song in the kitchen and just dance. Like go crazy, go mad, like no one's watching. And then I put it on social media so everyone can see it. But I just, dance is one of my favorite things. It just so, and normally my dancing isn't beautiful or perfect. So it comes out quite comical.
So, well, Carla, I have to ask, so rewind back, as you are an actor, is that from the musical theater world? Or are you like more like theater, commercial TV? Like what world are you coming from?
Well, I started off, so I trained in straight acting and then the first job I got at drama school was a musical. And I did musicals for about 5 years and then I switched and I wanted to do more TV and more straight plays. So now I don't do musicals anymore. I have got about a few on my list that I'm like, well, if they came up, I'd still go in for that casting. I mean, I wouldn't get it probably because I haven't done a musical now for so long. I am rusty. But yeah, but I'm a big fan of musicals. Huge.
Big fan of the musicals. Yeah, I am too. So being that you are an actor, and I myself lived in that world for 16 years,
Wow.
it's quite the world that doesn't really say you should have children during this process. And
Oh, yeah.
more like when you're in the show and you do fall pregnant, the grace of, okay, well, we got to get your replacement tomorrow, so you'll be done. So how is it for you juggling that? And was it something that when you did fall pregnant with Etta, that you were a bit like, oh wait, now I'm done? Or was this something that you were going to like try to walk with hand in hand?
Do you know what? I had that. Well, one, I would say you make an extremely valid and sad point that it is really difficult to be. I mean, I think now in all aspects of work, unfortunately, it's really difficult to be a mum and continue working because there's just not the support that's needed at all. But I think particularly for the self-employed and in the creative arts, yeah, it's a really terrifying thing because you are your business. And if you have to nurse a little one, you can't be your business. I had that really naive thought of, I'm just going to take her into the rehearsal room. I'm going to lay her down. I'm going to rehearse. And yeah, that didn't happen so much. And also, my husband is also an actor. So we have this thing of whoever gets the job first works. Because we can't both work at the same time.
Makes sense.
And actually, when I was pregnant with Etta, I was doing a play where I had to be, something wedding. Anyway, I was the bride. I had to be in this wedding dress. And it was a 4 month run. And I was 6 months pregnant by the end in this size 8 wedding corset that they were trying to do up. And I was like, that's not going to go. That is not going to go. But they were like, we're not getting a new, they weren't prepared to get, no, I won't get it. I haven't said what it was or where it was, so it's fine. But they weren't prepared to get a new costume for me, which is a prime
Isn't that sad though
example
that
of
you have
how
to
the.
hide? It's so sad that you have to hide that.
Yeah.
I had Tony winner, Nikki James. She won a Tony for The Book of
Oh,
Mormon.
yeah.
So,
Yeah.
she's such a lovely human being. And she was on the podcast late last year. And she actually was talking about the same thing, that she was pregnant. She's had her little one now. And at the time when she had fallen pregnant, she was doing this like iconic role that she had always wanted to do at, I want to say, at the Signature in DC. And she was like, I'm not telling anyone. I'm going to wear the 5-inch stilettos. I'm going to wear the corset until I just can't. And she was able, when she found out she was pregnant and where they were in the process of the show, she was able to finish the full run. And then she told them towards the end that she was pregnant. So she didn't get any
Wow.
sort of like pushback on it because she was like, I want to do the role. I want to be present. I'm going to give it my all. And she told a few people that would kind of like monitor her and like, hey, do you want to, you should take a break kind of thing when like you are feeling so hot. And she said, overall, it was like such an empowering thing. But she knew she knew what the consequences would be. And she wasn't going to give any high fives to it. And I love that she just like persevered and, and now has a child and, she continues to take roles and that child is, she's been very like forefront on social media saying like, no, she's part of my contract. Like if I have to go to rehearsal, baby comes to rehearsal or the nanny, but like I'm breastfeeding, I'm going through it. Like that's what it is.
Absolutely. I think I want to hope that it's getting a little bit better. It's definitely better than it has been, but it's still like there's still the fear with actors. Like, for instance, like the fact that she didn't say anything is because she would have been treated differently. And her
Massively.
contract may have been cut short because of insurance, because of everything, you know. So I've got so many amazing, successful actor friends that have similarly done jobs and just not said anything. And one of them was actually at the National Theatre and she was doing a role and she was 8 months pregnant. And because she wore this really floaty thing, she's actually quite a big name, but she was wearing this really floaty costume and no one knew. And then a month later, she had a newborn and they were like, what? What's happening? But I think I do find that also, it's amazing and it's quite empowering for the woman to be like, see, I'm kicking ass and none of you know. But also it's quite sad that we feel that maybe sometimes we have to keep it secret. Well, because also having a child in this industry, you kind of feel a little bit unhirable for the first. I don't know, I did, definitely.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask, like, what massively, aside from the fact that you have a tiny human, what changed for you personally that was like, oh, I didn't expect that? Or, you know, a lot of us, a lot of women on the other side of childbirth don't expect their bodies to be the way that they are, how they, some don't bounce back perfectly as per put out to the social media world. And I, you know, God bless the ones that are so perfect and non-filtered, and I use quotations on that. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, what did you find for yourself that like really changed for you that was like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting that?
Do you know what? For me, it wasn't actually a body thing so much. It was more, I think, particularly because I'm self-employed, and when you're self-employed, you kind of, you live to the, what is it? It's the, you, I want to say you live to the beat of your own drum. That's not the right expression, but do you know what I mean? I'm not in a 9-to-5. Well, I am when I'm in a show, but I'm not, you know, I don't get dressed. I don't have to go to the office. I don't have to, it's not really structured in that sense. Particularly if I'm not working, I do a lot of writing. And so when I had Etta, I suddenly found that actually I wasn't able to do anything for myself, like nothing. My whole life, I remember looking out the window thinking, will I ever walk to the shop again? Will I ever be able to just walk to the... I think actually looking back, I probably had some sort of postnatal depression for the first few months, because also she was a horrendous sleeper and I wasn't used to that at all. I was used to getting my, you know, 8 to 10 hours.
Oh, Carla, were you also the 8 to 10 hours plus a nap that midday when you had a two-show day?
Or
like understudy. I was all about like understudy rehearsal, go back to my apartment, take my nap.
Oh my goodness.
And then go back to the theater.
I would bring a pillow to the dressing room and I would go underneath the dressing room tables and make a little bed and I would nap. I would nap big time. I'd have my eye mask, I'd have my headphones, and I'd nap. And I think that's something that I think new mums aren't told, is that it is a huge shock. No matter how many people say, oh my God, you're going to make an amazing mum. And it's nothing to do with all of that. It's the fact that suddenly you are living solely for this other little being, and you have to just kind of throw everything that you did for yourself out the window. And I think it surprised me how difficult I found. I really thought I wouldn't struggle with that, but I really struggled with it.
When did you find then comedy? Like when did the comedy side of kind of filter in to bring back your huge smile and joy?
Well, I think actually quite a while down the line, I think she was about 3 when I started to, I've always done comedy, but I've not put it out there really. But you know what? I was just fed up of going to these mum groups and having these mums when I was absolutely beaten and just exhausted saying, oh, she slept straight through. And I just thought, God, that's not a healthy thing to be saying to mum. You know, no, read the room. If your baby slept straight through, I get you're excited and it is freaking wonderful for you. It is, but just read the room a little, you know? And I thought, I bet I'm not the only one feeling that. And I think the best way to, I don't know, I think that sometimes the best way to get out of the biggest slump and the biggest pit is by laughing. And yeah, so I started just seeing if anyone else would relate to them. And they were like, oh my God, yes! Someone said that to me and I wanted to kill them. But yeah. And also you meet all these amazing different mums and they all, yeah, I just think there's so much material.
Gosh, you know, I immediately thought of you a couple of days ago. Was my daughter's last day of school, but the day before the last day of school, they had an assembly. So I get the email. It says She's supposed to wear this uniform specific, the green top, the tan bottom. That was it. Adia has an assembly. This is what she's wearing. That was it. There was, hey, parents, you should come on down at 9 a.m. for the assembly. Nothing. So I take her to school drop off. She's all perky, happy to go in, put the backpack on. Off she goes. Teacher turns and looks at me. Well, aren't you coming to the assembly?
What?
And by, like, I like to think that I attend the things.
Yeah.
And the things, then I send the things. Like, try to be on top of it as much as possible. We can't do it all. Sorry.
No.
Can't. So I just, like, looked at her. I was like, well, she's wearing the green and the tan.
And she's, I got that right.
And she's like, well, don't you read your emails?
I'm like in
my brain trying to compute what the email said. And it said, wear the green thing, wear the tan thing. And she's got an assembly. That's it. Like, there was no sort of welcome parents. So, like, my heart sank and I felt like a failed mother. And I turned around and I was like, and I just kind of like walked up the little hill, turned to the front, went back in the other way, went down the stairs and headed to the auditorium. And I just sat there and I was like, well, I'm going to wait because apparently this teacher thinks I'm shit and I don't read emails. Read the room.
Oh my goodness. Don't you read your emails? Ouch.
The part of me too was thinking, like, I sent a cake 2 days prior to this as a thank you, teachers, because it was, and you know what's really funny is that I'm actually saying this and my daughter is only three. She's not even in the goddamn thick of the school yet. She's not even five, Carla.
Oh my God. This is already taking a turn.
So I got an email, Carla. I read the damn email and it said, please send lunch for the teachers for Teachers Appreciation Day. So I sent a cake.
What?
Why not? I am waiting for my thank you, Carla. I'm waiting for my thank you.
This is crazy. Please send the teachers lunch for the Teachers Appreciation Day. I have never heard. I mean, that's a sketch in itself.
That is. You're welcome.
What? This is amazing.
Uganda, Carla, this is life in Uganda. And I am paying for this lovely, fabulous private school that she is thriving in. But I will send lunch for the teachers. I sent a beautiful cake. It looked delicious. I didn't have any of it.
I mean, you should have cut a big slice out of it before sending it in, to be honest.
I really should have.
That's outrageous.
Next year,
you have a bite of those sandwiches before you send them in.
Gosh, can you imagine? I'm gonna send
can
my
you imagine?
Daughter
just half- a few half open crisps.
I can't. So now you're like well known in the social media world for creating all this content. I mean, I gave you a little bit just now, but like, what are you like ahead of the game? Where does this all come from and inspire from? Literally just like what you encounter at school, or are you just like crafting all of this at home?
I think it's a little bit of everything. In the olden days, I don't know how long it's been now. It's been about 2 years, but I was like getting completely inspired by what was happening to me. But I think slowly it all becomes kind of the same thing. So now every evening for an hour after I've put Etta to bed, which at the moment is a shocker and takes forever.
I can't even sleep. Been anymore. It's like that's like
it's awful. Well, I know.
Who are
How
you?
Sad is that? How sad is that?
Oh yeah.
Same.
I personally hang off of the bed. Like I'm like one ass cheek on, one ass cheek off.
Yeah. She's a starfish and it's so hot in London at the moment. I mean you're in Uganda. I'm not complaining.
I know we have air conditioning everywhere. This is like an air conditioning country. So
Well, I mean ours is not at all. Anyway, yeah, that I digress. What did I say? I digress. I'm so Hugh Grant. I sound so.
Okay. I digress.
Sleep. Oh, yeah, writing. Yeah. And so once I put her down, my evenings, I spend an hour coming up with material every evening. So Monday to Friday, I give myself the weekends to not write. But yeah, every evening I'll try and write something because I find if I've run out of ideas, if I just brainstorm, literally, and I use pen and paper, I don't use a computer, I'm really old school. And yeah, I come up with stuff, and some of it is funny, some of it's not so funny. But I do find it's quite a challenge. But I like a challenge. I like a challenge. But it's quite a challenge to keep coming up with stuff and not repeating the same things, because, I mean, that is parenthood, is just the repetitiveness of it. So mm-hmm. I can't put that in. Yeah, but anyway, I enjoy it. I do enjoy it.
It's good. And what would be in the pipeline for you with the content creation? What are your hopes to get out of it for more work?
Well, I think initially, if I'm completely honest, as much as I adore my followers and I love them and I do the content for them genuinely, I'm also doing it in case a big bunch of casting directors are watching and go, oh, let's give her a show, or let's get her into audition for this comedy. That's kind of, I think, I basically, it's an amazing platform to have however Great. Many followers I have, and to try and, yeah.
That's how the world shifted, right? The world has shifted that way. I used to a lot of models, and I would be like, how's your castings? They're like, well, we don't go on castings anymore. We send in virtual. Like, I need to post a workout because on my feed I have cover of Vogue, Hello Magazine. Mm. I need a You're just like, I'm sorry? You need fitness content. And you're like, oh yeah. So it's like food content, fitness content, travel, and then a cover of a magazine. So it has changed so much, even for actors where they're, you know, doing self-tapes and whatnot. I am so glad that I'm out of the business, that I do not have to worry about a self-tape. I would self-combust.
If you had to do a self-tape, they are so horrible.
They're awful.
They are. I think 8 times out of 10, my poor husband, I had a tape, I think about a month ago, and it was, they're the worst kind of tape. It was for one line in something. But I think they are the worst kind, because you overanalyze that one line. I think it was something like, yes, sir, your room is ready for you now. I must have said it about 200 times. And in the end, I ended up doing kind of hitting myself in the head and crying because I couldn't get it right. At one line, overanalyzed. Anyway, didn't get the part.
An hour, 2 hours, did that take out of your life?
Oh yeah, that's a solid 2 hours for one line. Solid 2 hours. But I promise anyone listening to this, I am a good actor. I promise.
Listen, but you know what? It's kind of like the double-edged sword, because then I can actually think about the times that you have gone into all these auditions where you've traveled in and then you said, you know, it's an agent call. Again, I'm using the quotations because we all know an agent call still means you're going to sit on your ass and wait. So you're sitting there and you're waiting, and then you go in your groups, or you're going in at one at a time, and oh, I'm so sorry, but we're behind schedule. And you're like, of course you are.
I can't, but I cannot always. It's like, why didn't you call ahead? Why?
Yeah. That's anyway. Where like the digital thing should come in, and you could get like pinged, like a text message. Like, you know, like when, what is it like when Amazon's coming, they're like, we are 1 hour away.
Yeah. Like, you could, this like, is your time slot.
All time. You are actually going to be at 2:10 today, not at 1:45.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Instead of when you walk into the room and they're like, oh, do you know what? We're running a bit late. And I'm always the person to go, how late? And they're like, about 50 minutes. I'm like, yeah. Do you know what I normally do? This is really awful. I normally say I've got another casting in half an hour, so I need to be gone in half an hour, which is awful for the other people, because then the person behind the desk is like, do you mind if Carla goes ahead of you? And they're normally lovely and go, no. Do you know what? And that's my karma. I normally don't get those castings because it's karma, isn't it? I've messed everyone's day up. I just hate.
No, it's such a crazy, like, it's as beautiful as the outcomes can be with jobs like that, like especially performing on stage, I personally, for one, think there's nothing like it. The high, the 2.5 hours of telling a story to kind of transport yourself from a shit day, a great day, into something else. I mean, it's a wonderful, magical thing. But the stuff that goes with it is bananas. And I, it's bananas. And like, you don't get a job because you don't fit into the costume, or you got the job because you did fit into the costume. And I mean, my last Broadway show I did, I always was like a panic for auditions. And I remember getting a phone call that had my final call back for Gigi. And
oh, I love that show.
I was like, great. Oh yeah. It was a beautiful show. It was like, great. Yeah. Wonderful. I showed up a day early, Carla. Day early. I was there. I had the outfit on, hair all done. I was stretching in the hallway. I was like, wow, there's no one here. Well, I must have gotten the role. This is fantastic. So I'm just like,
oh no.
I'm at Ripley Greer, like doing my thing. And then I called my agent and I was like, hey, like, what's going on? So like, it's actually 1 o'clock and like, there's no one here. I don't know what's going on. And they're like, Ashley, it's tomorrow.
Man, that's a bad moment.
One more day of this anxiety of craziness. I mean, luckily I got the job. Like I was very thankful that I booked that show and you know, did a jump split 8 shows a week, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, it's maddening. Now you have a child. What do, and your husband is also an actor. Like, what is your thought process on like, okay, well, she's seeing us as actors and the stuff that we go through and the hoops we jump through. And for the love of it, you're actually like, don't get me wrong. There's so much love to performing and acting and there's brilliance to it. How do you feel about your child maybe perhaps venturing into that world?
Do you know what? I would rather she did anything else. I think actually that's really common with performers. When they have a kid, they're like, oh, please don't want to be a performer. Please don't. It's so hard. But I think, I mean, of course, because I don't want her to be a performer, she, and I think maybe it's really common because so many mums are always like, oh, she just loves performing. It's such a common thing. And then maybe they grow out of it. But she sings from morning till night. She is one of the funniest little things in the world. She cracks me up every day. I just think she has such a, I don't know. I think I would not be a performer if there was anything else I loved as much. I just wouldn't. But there's nothing else. So if she has that same thing, I'll have to go, yep, okay, let's go for it. But I'm still hoping she'll be a doctor or a scientist, or you know, find some cure for some sort of disease. Or
my husband keeps reminding Adiad, well, you know, when you're CEO of JP Morgan.
Nice. Yes. That's it. 100%. Yeah.
And I actually go, Addie, just point your toes for me. I just want to see where your arch level is right now. Can you just like extend through your angle for me? Because I would just love to see that you have my feet and not my husband's, because his feet are
Oh, man. I actually, I do the same. Etta goes to this little, because I teach at the weekends. I teach at this stage school. I teach singing. And because I teach there, she can go for free. So she goes and we go over the little, she's not in this, I don't teach her. We're going over this song she's singing. No, project a little bit more. So you're going a bit nasal there. I was like, no, what am I doing? Don't tell your 5-year-old that she's going nasal. Don't be that mum. That's terrible. Anyway, so yeah, I have to correct myself sometimes.
Oops. She's
find
be
the
fine.
Note, Etta. Find it. It's up there. No, you flap.
Find it. Lift it up and just hold it as long as you can.
Yeah. Your tongue placement.
Dip song. Can you add a dip song?
Yes. Please. But also, please be a doctor. Please.
Please. And if that doesn't work out, the CEO of JP Morgan is not a bad thing.
It would not be a bad fallback plan. It really wouldn't.
To that expecting busy mumsy, you can't say don't do it. Don't do it. Carla, I knew I would be in stitches this entire chat with you, but yeah, I'm sweating from it, by the way. just to pass the torch to that expecting busy mumsy of the words of wisdom, what do you know now that you're like, well, you know what? Let me just give you this little bit of advice because this is going to help you. Because I didn't know. And I sure as hell crashed and burned.
Yeah, crashed and burned big time. I'm trying to think of advice. Advice. Oh, do you know what my advice is? It's not advice. It's a saying. And it really helped me with Etta. But it's this too shall pass. And it worked for the really low and bleak times because they'll pass. But it also worked for when I had a really great day to enjoy that day and to not take it for granted. Like if I could get up and make a cup of tea and leave her in her bassinet, that was a win, and it'll pass. So give her a little kiss on the head and enjoy that moment. But also, yeah, when you're in the, because that those, especially those early days of motherhood, can be incredible but also really bleak and really lonely, and but they'll pass, and you'll get a proper little human. Which is just magic. So yeah, I think that really helped me, this too shall pass. I mean in life in general, I love that expression. But yeah, also if you're going through hell, keep going. That's a good one too.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Keep chugging along.
Just keep going and just make stuff as easy as you get. You do not have to impress anyone. No. You know, just forget, if someone wants to judge you, they will judge you anyway. It doesn't matter. Just make your life as easy as you can, because it's so difficult. Again, I'm talking about early days. Also, now she's 5. Sometimes I do think that as well. I'm just like, I don't care who's going to judge me. I haven't got time to wash my hair today, so I'm not washing it. I don't care if the mums look at me and think she looks like she's having a breakdown. It doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah.
I love it. And I will continue to read the emails and still be judged for not reading.
I can't believe that. That's so
there. Just is what it is. Carla Freeman, thank you so much for joining me for Busy Mumsy.
So welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Did you like it, Adia?
Yes!
Oh, the enthusiasm. I love it. Please share your love by giving us a 5-star rating, a rockin' review, and please share with any fellow Busy Mumsies. We love hearing from you. So if you want to get in touch, head to the Busy Mumsy show notes for further details and links to the Busy Mumsy website. So long for now. Can you say bye-bye, Adia?
Bye-bye, Adia.